Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lynn S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, August the 16th, 2018. We are reading from the Big Book. On page 97, the second paragraph, we seldom allow an alcoholic, through four paragraphs ending ahead of dependence on God and commenting on all. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Shauna O, 12 Traditions, Anne Marie M., and readers of the text, Julie E. B., Wendy M., and Jordan L. The reference numbers for Thursday, August the 16th, the 10 a.m. meeting, 11799, and Friday, August the 17th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 11802. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shauna O. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Shauna O., recovering compulsive eater in Washington State. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna O. And Anne Marie M. will read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Anne Marie M., recovered compulsive eater in South Carolina. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. 3. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 97, the second paragraph, We Seldom Allow an Alcoholic, through 4 paragraphs ending ahead of dependence on God, and we will be commenting on all. And I'd like to ask Julie E.B. to start us off. Press star 1, Julie.
Yes, can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, one day at a time, in Colorado. We seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes for long at a time. It is not good for him, and it sometimes creates serious complications in a family. Though an alcoholic does not respond, there is no reason why you should neglect his family. You should continue to be friendly to them. The family should be offered your way of life. Should they accept and practice spiritual principles, there is a much better chance that the head of the family will recover. And even though he continues to drink, the family will find life more bearable. For the type of alcoholic who is able and willing to get well, little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. The men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. Yet we do go to great extremes to provide each other with these things when such action is warranted. This may seem inconsistent, but we think it is not. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely on our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence on other people ahead of dependence on God. As I said, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, a day at a time. What a powerful and profound gem here in this section. What a blessing. We gather together in order to help the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And some of those folks are struggling today for a single day of abstinence. Others have a few days under their belt and are diving into the spiritual program, unsure what they will or won't be able to do. Others have been in these steps and are starting to feel relief and still waiting. Still others have had some recovery or have recovered and are helping others and are just wondering, how can I be one of these people who can make a difference between failure and success? Well, I think the last sentence says it all. We simply do not stop drinking, just state it as a fact, so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. If you heard my story as I shared it on the line recently, you know that I spent a lifetime depending on other people for the care and protection that big book prayer promises comes from our God as we turn to God full of abandon, complete abandon, full not of the food, but full of giving up. And it's when I gave up on these material needs being done first, these clamors, these cravings being taken care of first. If only those are taken first, if God takes away my difficulties first, then maybe I can try and find something that I so desperately need. But what I was doing is I was taking what some people call the higher power shaped hole inside of me, and I was trying to fill it with my family going right, my job going right, a feeling calm and peaceful inside. I thought serenity was something that I could chase. And so I'm fortunate to have people that went to great extremes for me. Some folks in the family program of Al-Anon and CODA who listened over and over again as I stayed in the problem, but I shared over and over again, this person is difficult, this situation is difficult, this is my intolerable situation, not knowing there was no middle of the road solution, as page 25 says, and I need to seek spiritual help. If we move into a position of dependency as a sponsor, it is clear here that we are beginning to set a path where that person will rely upon our assistance rather than God. I'm really grateful that my sponsor, Nancy, she wasn't available all the time just because of the way her life worked. She was available certain times, and then I had to learn outreach, and I had to learn a network. And it was so hard to make that call, but now my life is a daily rhythm of giving and receiving calls, of being there for other people and them being there for me. And that is how I began to see God. Now, sure, I can go straight to God and depend on God, but also through the service of others, I can receive so much gifts. Nothing comes ahead of God. Thanks for letting me share my path.
Thank you, Julie E.B. The line is now open if you'd like to share on what was read. And please say your name just once as it helps me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Deborah Perry.
Yes.
Wendy M.
Rebecca
Jen A.
Okay, so far I've heard Wendy M. and Jen A. Who else was there, please?
Sarah
Anita
B.
Somebody B.
Anita B.
Is that Carlita?
Yes, Anita B.
Anita B. and Rebecca?
Patty T.
Okay, let's stop there because I know I missed somebody. Let me tell you our lineup and we'll get the other people on the next go-round. I have Wendy M., Jen A., Anita B., Rebecca, Sherry KB, and Patty P. Let's go with that lineup, please. Wendy M., it's your turn, followed by Jen A.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered happily in Boulder, Colorado. Can you hear me, Lynn?
Yes, thank you.
Great. I absolutely love the wisdom, the guidance of this sentence, where it says, job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. So my story is that it's all about dependence on other people. And literally, I would go around to strangers or people I knew, it didn't matter, and will you be my mommy? Will you be my mommy? Right? I wanted to take zero responsibility for my life, and I wanted to be dependent on other people. It was just kind of like the ocean that I swam in. That's how I related to people. And the thing about that is this being dependent on other people, I'm in a lot of trouble really quickly, because if I'm dependent on you, I have to compliment you. I have to, you know, page 60 to 63, I have to, whatever it is, I need to control you so that I can get what I need from you. Right. So either I'm controlling myself and my behavior so that I'll get that effect from you, or I have to control you in some way. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to be dependent on other people. And I have to say that I'm going through a divorce right now, and I'm entirely abstinent. My food is clean, clean, clean. And I could tell you, oh, I've got this and that going on. No, the bottom line is I'm entirely abstinent, and that's my responsibility, you know. And for a while, I was making my boyfriend my oxygen, you know. I couldn't breathe unless I got something from him. And if I'm plugged into him and not into my higher power, I'm in trouble very, very quickly, because I have to have strategies to get that thing from him so that I can exist, so that I can live, you know. And it turns out that you can plug into God, and God's always available. God is constantly at any moment available. You know, I like to just plug in. I see myself like plugging into a socket in the wall, and boom, I'm with God. And what I get from that is sheer freedom, right? If I'm dependent on other people, I'm not free at all. I'm in bondage to self and that person, right? And what this requires for me is self-care. God is saying, care for yourself. That is your responsibility. And the minute I'm caring for myself, God shows up instantly. This is, you know, and I joke too, just about sponsoring, that if the sponsee's ready, a toothpick could sponsor the individual. It doesn't matter, you know. But I just love this piece about dependence, you know, about like how, like, it's, I'm only going to be okay if you do X, Y, and Z. That is such a, you know, it's pages 60 to 63. It's, you know, it's all about how can I control the outside so that I can get something
from it.
And with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. Jen A., it's your turn, followed by Anita B.
Good morning. This is Jen A., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in Littleton, Colorado. So great that we're talking about this paragraph today, because you know what? This is where I struggle. I struggle as a sponsor, and I struggle as a human being, because I have to keep remembering that I am not God. I cannot play God. And that the biggest thing is that when life changes, the one thing that's always constant and remains the same in my life is God. God is a huge part of this program for me. And, you know, I'm always having to constantly ask myself, you know, God either is or he isn't. What is my choice to be? And, you know, I was pretty reliant on others when I came into this program. No, I was really reliant on others when I came into this program. I relied on other people for everything. I was other-centered. I relied on absolutely everybody else. And when I came into this program, I then relied still on another human being in program, my sponsor. And then I also relied on my recovered boyfriend at the time. 11 months of that didn't serve me very well, and I found myself back out in the food because I wasn't following these 12 steps as they're outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, my biggest thing is I have to follow the book and its guidelines. And one of the guidelines is relying on something bigger than myself, not relying on people to solve my problems and my issues. And so today I'm very thankful that I have a sponsor that is constantly turning me back to God all the time. How would God have you be? Have you asked God? Have you prayed and meditated? You know, and what, where is my direction coming from? If my direction is coming from others in this program, then I'm not relying on God.
So I have to rely on God fully. And my little girl went to camp this summer, and she got this little stuffed frog. And I said, oh, honey, that's cute. It's a frog. She goes, yeah, Mom, do you not know what frog stands for? And I said, no, what does it stand for? F-R-O-G, fully rely on God, Mommy. And I thought, are you kidding me? See, life is in session, and who is going to be my teacher? And it's either my kid, it's someone I work with, it's this meeting on the lines. But more than anything, my biggest teacher in this program is the God of my understanding, if I lean into him. And that's where I have to be today, is leaning into God and not into myself and not into others. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen A. Anita B., it's your turn, followed by Rebecca. Press star one, Anita.
Hi, Anita B. from New Jersey. Sorry about that. I'm so glad to hear everybody share because it helps me not feel alone. I recently did a fourth step for probably, I don't know, the sixth time, but it seemed a little different this time. And even my abstinence is different this time. But on my fourth step, a lot of it was that I wanted everyone to take care of me. I was the youngest of four. Then I had two more brothers, but I was always taken care of, and I followed through with that through most of my life. And so to hear other people share that, you know, that codependency was part of theirs helps give me hope. And recently my sponsor went on vacation, and I love when it's time to talk to my sponsor because I'm usually really ready for that. And she went on vacation, and she said, all right, you're going to have to call two other people and keep working on step 10 and 11 with them. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to do that. But you know what? God had a different plan, and I should trust that because it was awesome. I talked to this awesome woman, and I just love talking to her, who will now be another contact for me. So thanks for reminding me that God is the most important thing when I'm doing all of this work. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Anita B. Rebecca, it's your turn, followed by Sherry KB.
Hello, my amazing fellows. This is Rebecca P., compulsive overeater, Bakersfield, California. It's so nice to be sharing on the line. I've been away on vacation all summer. And, so many things come to mind. The word boundaries came to mind when I was listening, the word self-care, the word self-love, and then combining all that, bringing together and listening to my higher power. Interestingly enough, I was the opposite, but in very similar ways, in terms of I couldn't trust anybody, so the only thing I relied upon was myself and what I thought was my head, that I was the only one that could get things done. And so the only thing I was truly dependent on was I was dependent on every single other person around me to act the way that I wanted them to. So that was that was where the non-acceptance came in, and the judging and all that kind of stuff. So in this program, it's taught me boundaries, being able to be a sponsor and then also having sponsees. And then being a sponsee, it's been so amazing on both sides, because I'm able to work on my day-to-day communication. I'm able to work on my relationship with others and what does that look like. I'm able to show up. So yeah, not just be who you want me to be, but also who I think you want me to be. But, as a sponsor, be the mature one to say, okay, maybe we're going, the wrong direction here. What about this? Or what about this? Or, reminding people, but along with myself, is this in my will or is this God's will? And there's so much in this paragraph. And I just wanted to thank you all for your shares. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for taking all of my calls, and service has definitely been the key to keeping me towards closest to my higher power. And I'm forever grateful at the things that are coming through in my life. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca T. Sherry KV, it's your turn, followed by Patty P.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Lynn, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And I'm just going to jump right in here. Feel so strongly about this. All throughout the book, you know, it's all about connecting with a power greater than myself. It's all about God is, God isn't. What is my choice to be? And that goes for especially when I'm working with a protege. My job to me as a step guide is to get them to fully rely on their higher power and not on me. And I continually talk about that throughout the time I work with somebody. And this is a really good experience I had. I've taken a lot of people through the book, and when this one particular, actually there have been two, but the first time it happened, it was the hardest thing I ever had to do. One of my proteges called me crying. She was so upset about something, and she wanted to talk about it. And when I'm working with somebody, we work in the book. That's my job with them in the book on that particular day. And I said to her, you know, I really would love to help you, but the best way I can help you is to get you in this book. And she was just, like, so devastated, I bet, and couldn't believe that's what I was telling her that would help her. And she listened, and we got in the book, and we started reading. But I did tell her that, you know, let's do the work, and that, you know, if she wants to call me later on in the day or whatever, but right here my job is to keep you in this book. And, you know, we started reading, and wouldn't you know, her higher power got in there and helped her, because as we were reading, all of a sudden I heard the tears go away, and she even said to me, I cannot believe how much better I feel. And I said, that's your higher power taking care of you. That's just the beginning of what, if you let your higher power take care of you, what can happen. So my job is to let their higher power take care of them and me, not them depend on me, but depend on their higher power. Because I heard when I first came into the meeting, when I first listened to this meeting, like I don't know how many years ago it was, but I remember this person saying that, you know, what if one day this meeting's not here? What if one day your sponsor goes out? Are you going to go out because your sponsor went out, or are you going to rely on God? Because the only full reliance we have 100% is on a higher power. We can look for our sponsors and our fellows for support, but our full reliance needs to be on a higher power, and I've never forgotten that. And that also, that, you know, when we're doing this work, it's about getting helping them to get on block so they can connect with their higher power. And when I'm asking them a question, they start asking me, I'll tell them, and just I'll wrap it up, is just, you know, take this to your quiet time along with your higher power, not you by yourself, but with your higher power, and then come back and tell me what you're going to do. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Patty B., it's your turn.
Hi, this is Patty T. Did you call me?
Yes, I did. Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, gosh. I love this. You know, this whole week, the message that I've gotten in the readings has been go to God, go to God, go to God. Send your sponsees to God and guide them to God. Guide to God. And, you know, I can speak from my own experience as a sponsee. When I first came into the program, after I'd been sponsored by a lady about a year, she went to Australia. She had planned a vacation. She's going to be gone 3 weeks, and she told me to get a temporary sponsor. And so I got this really scary person who was actually her sponsor. And so I remember calling her, and I just was honest. I just said, I hope I can be as open with you as I can with her, because, you know, I really want to stay absent while she's gone. And the lady said back to me, well, you know, that's a really good thing, because, you know, she could go out, I could go out. Any of us can go out. And as long as you go to God and work your program, you won't go out, no matter what. And I was so impressed by that. She was absolutely confident. There was no, let me, you know, explain it to you, any of that. She just said it, and I believed her. And in that 3 weeks, I remained abstinent. I looked forward to calling her, and she became not nearly as scary as I had thought before. Another year later, I had started some lying to my sponsor about my food. And my sponsor said to me, "What is the lying about?" And I honestly, I did not know. I didn't know where it was coming from. It just was fear, with fear. And she said to me, "I want you to go to God and I want you to go to Al-Anon because I am not your higher power. I am not your higher power. You need God for this and you also need Al-Anon." And you know, I went to the other program as well, and it threw my recovery in OA into a whole other dimension because I had two sources guiding me to God. So, you know, I'm that person who thinks if I can get everything looking right, it'll be okay. And the fact of the matter is that maybe I don't need to get anything looking right at all. Maybe I just need to walk through the discomfort of what is with God and teach, lead my sponsees in that same way. Thank you, I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we are on page 97, the second paragraph, "We seldom allow an alcoholic," through four paragraphs ending ahead of dependence on God and commenting on all. If you'd like to share, please say your name just once. It helps me hear everybody.
Wendy B.
Melissa C.
Jordan L.
Alana M.
Susan C.
Okay. Let me tell you who I have. There was somebody B right at the beginning. I missed your first name.
Wendy B.
Okay, can you hang on, please? There's somebody B, Melissa C, Jordan L, Alana M, Susan T. Did I miss anybody?
Mary Ann was C. C, like in cat.
It was Wendy B at the beginning.
Perfect. Wendy B. Okay. And then we also have Miriam Rivka H. Okay. Let's go with that lineup, please. I have Wendy B., Melissa C., Jordan L., Alana M., Susan T., and Miriam Rivka H. Wendy B., please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, the statement, you know, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependency upon other people ahead of dependency on God, and it's just, I just love that statement. And my experience with this is when I got a vision sponsor, she was really busy, and she grouped me together with another new sponsee, and she sponsored us together. And it was awesome. You know, it automatically gave me a partner to share the journey with. And she also didn't give me a lot of individual attention. And she was very firm, you know, about us relying on God and not her. And I had to take, you know, my all my insecure feelings and my wanting affirmation from her to God. And during this process, God gave me a dream. And I was up in a tree being safe and secure, supported in its branches. And there was an elephant supporting the branch that I was resting on with its trunk. And then later, the elephant removed its trunk, and I was still safe and supported. And then the elephant climbed up in the tree with me. And to me, it was symbolic to me, you know, of the growth in a relationship where we become equals. And, you know, we're both being supported by God and me not needing her independent support. You know, God's the one who promised to meet my needs, and my dependency needs to be on him. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Melissa C., it's your turn, followed by Jordan L.
Hi, good morning. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Thank you so much, Lynn, for your service. You know what? I really think about how I would make all these conditions for what needed to be in place in my life in order to work a program, in order to recover. You know, if I had this and if I had that, then I could focus on getting recovered. Then I could focus on following the steps. And, you know, if that were the case, if everything in my life were as I wanted it to be, I would have no need to have a spiritual transformation because everything would be as I wanted it, you know. And as luck have it, everything, when everything started really falling apart, was when I had a need for this program. And, you know, so if you're waiting until you get the job, until you get the guy, until you get the kid, until you have the money, maybe you don't have the job. Maybe you don't have the guy and you don't have the money or the kid because your disease has crowded out everything else. And, you know, in my experience, my disease reached the height of its level when I had everything on paper that I thought I wanted. You know, like, I remember I was, you know, a young, newly married person in an apartment, you know, with my husband. We were so happy, had a job I loved, and I was eating like, you know, like the insane person that I am. And, you know, fast forward 20-something years later, when everything started feeling like I was destroying it, I stopped making conditions for recovering, you know, and I realized God was in charge here. And if I lost my job, if I lost my marriage, if I lost everything, I was going to have to find a way to be okay. Thankfully, those things did not happen. You know, God saved me. And the other thing I wanted to share is when I work with sponsees, as flattering as it is as a sponsor to think that you're going to be someone's higher power, you know, you have all this wisdom, and it can be ego, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to serve you. That is, like, that's a killer to me. That will kill me because my ego, you know, edges God out. And it will certainly not help another person recover. So one of the things I do is I don't do everything for the sponsee or with the sponsee. You know, I say, like, I'm not able to read X and X days. Here's a list of, like, loads of people. Go call some of them. Ask them if they can read. You know, and I think we need one another, but collectively, to help us find our higher power. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. And Jordan L., it's your turn, followed by Alana M.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Lynn?
Yes, thank you.
Good morning, guys. My name is Jordan L. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm glad to be on the line this morning. So I got to tell you, I am one sick puppy, right? If there's another way out, I was going to find it. You know, and I used every single form of reliance upon others, every single form of that reliance upon others as I could. Right? Like, reliance on God was the very last option, the very, very, very last option. So most definitely my job as a sponsor, I'm discovering more and more and more, is to let you be. Because if those people that were around when I finally, like, truly, truly, deep down to the very, like, core of my soul, admitted complete defeat, like, admitted complete and total hopelessness this time around. Like, I couldn't, that's not a place that I could have reached if I had someone I had someone trying to hold my hand. You know what I mean? And I think that we're all pretty sick. I think that you have to be a pretty sick person to become a compulsive overeater, right? Because eating is like one of the most basic instructions in life. And for us to take that and to turn it into what it is that we turn it into, you got to be pretty sick, right? So the whole thing is I'm grateful for those people that just let me alone. You know, I had an experience in early recovery where someone was like, I can't help you. I am letting you go entirely. And I found myself completely and totally alone. Luckily, I was in a place where I went to a meeting. and I experienced this fellowship. I experienced, I don't know, I guess you would call it reliance on this fellowship for the first time, right? As a whole at this event. And I liked it. I enjoyed it. I felt the presence of something bigger than just myself or just me relying on one other person there, you know? And that eventually led me to a place where I have this higher power now that I can be completely and totally relying upon, like fully in every way, shape, and form, or at least in every way, shape, and form that I'm able to see as of right now, right? Because more will be revealed. That I know for sure. But anyway, thanks for being on the line today, guys. That's it.
Thank you, Jordan L. Alana M., it's your turn, followed by Susan T.
Hi, thank you, Lynn. It's Alana M., a recovering compulsive overeater from Ottawa, Canada. And I really love the shares today. I find it has really got me thinking. And I'm in a 12-step recovery for a long time, even though my recovery from my food addiction still eludes me. But every time I hear we need to rely on God, every time I hear it, I go, oh, great, because I have no idea what that means. Like, I don't know how you do it. And even more than that, a part of me knows that it means I need to reach people. And even more frightening for me than the consequences of my compulsive overeating is relying on God. I think it's one of the reasons I find great comfort or think that food comfort, because then I don't have to rely on all of you, you know. It's just frightening. And I think, you know, there's real fears there around people letting me down, and I became very self-reliant young, and it just was safer that way, even though it was darker and lonelier. And, you know, but I know in this program, I kind of have come to believe that in that Joan Osborne song, you know, what if God was one of us, you know, and then my higher power speaks to me throughout this. And just yesterday, someone said to me that they asked their higher power to help them sleep through the night. And I did that last night, and it worked. I actually fell so fast and deeply asleep, I couldn't get up. It was really incredible. I couldn't believe it. But I have to hear other people, and then I try it. So that's how it works for me. But it's always and still baffles me when I always envy people who get that. You know. Anyway, thank you so much. Go ahead.
And thank you, Alana M. Susan T., it's your turn, followed by Miriam Rivka H. Susan T., press star 1. Or maybe I didn't hear a Susan T. Okay, Miriam Rivka H., are you available to go ahead?
Hi, it's Miriam Rivka H. Can you hear me?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your service, Lynn. Really great meeting. I'm enjoying listening to everyone share so much, and you're all reminding me that this, you know, this dependence upon humans is something that took me a really long time to get. You know, very, very early when I came to program and I heard that the big secret of recovery is God, you know, and I kind of rolled my eyes and I was like, come on, guys. That doesn't work. I know. I've been religious all my life, like, very good. I do believe in God, but guess what? Like, it doesn't work. And I proceeded to join program and try to find really good sponsors that could heal me and save me and change me and fix me. And what I got was probably what a lot of people would call codependent relationships. Like, I just really, I don't even know how to codependent. It was really from my end. Like, I would leech on to these people, grab on, and not want to let go. I would want them to be my mommy. I would want them to take care of me. I, like, needed to speak with them to feel okay. And I kept relapsing. I kept picking up food again and again and again. And it was finally pointed out to me that there is a solution. The solution is a relationship with a higher power. That is the solution, a relationship with a higher power, a spiritual awakening. And if that is not happening, if instead I'm having some sort of a relationship with a sponsor or someone else, I simply will not recover, just like they warn us here. And I kind of had to be like, okay, fine, I'll, you know, try to see how I can have this relationship. And it was, you know, it was explained to me that by following the 12 steps, by taking the 12 steps, I will have a relationship with a higher power that I could trust and rely on. And I just kind of took their word for it. And I went through the steps. And like I've heard some other people mention this also, my sponsor also was someone that wasn't so available, actually, and particularly after my fifth step. I don't know if it was intentional or unintentional, but she was super unavailable, and it was really hard to get a hold of her. And at a certain point, she said to me, she said, my job is to put your hand in God's, and your job is to walk with him. And it really shocked me. It made me realize I do not need this woman in order to recover. I just need to do this work and have my relationship with my higher power. And today, that's what I need to work on. You know, definitely, it is my, I am programmed to go to people. And I have to remind myself, no, like, people aren't the answer. People are sometimes the conduit to God. But ultimately, I need that relationship with my higher power in order to be okay. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Miriam Rifka H. And there's time for one more share. Who would like that spot, please?
Leslie W.
Okay, please go ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. And I just wanted to share on this paragraph because it is something I've dealt with my whole life and it's something I'm currently dealing with, my tendency to develop unhealthy relationships, cling to people, expect for them to save me, expect for them to do the job that I should be doing. And I think that's one of the reasons why it took me so long to, you know, to get recovery in the beginning, because I kept making excuses for why I couldn't recover. I have a brand new baby. I have a husband who doesn't treat me right. I don't have any help. I don't have any family around. It's, you know, everything was just too hard. Everything felt like it wasn't my responsibility. And what this program is teaching me today is to learn to be responsible. You know, my son is 4 and he's in preschool. And the first thing the teacher said to us was that our job is to teach them to learn to be independent. We want them to learn how to do things on their own. And, you know, I think that that was just something that for me was really missing. It was taking that responsibility. You know, I had no self-regulatory skills at all. So obviously when I was thrust into a position where I didn't have somebody helping me or doing something for me, then what am I going to turn to? Certainly not God, because he's not going to give me what I want fast enough. Maybe it's food, or maybe it's something else. But the point is, God is teaching me to depend on him, but also be responsible for myself. And there's, you know, instead of others. And that's for me, finding that balance has been really, you know, really key for me in my recovery. And thanks for letting me share on a path.
And thank you, Martha W. Thank you to everyone who shared and to Team Friday for making this meeting possible. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Wendy M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning again, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and can. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.